This is part two of a Bible teaching by David E. Ball titled, Grow Up.
When the Lutherans got the truth about salvation by faith, it was the Lutherans who went back to the Catholics and said, hey, come on, Catholics, get straightened up. This is the way it is. And who was it that cut off the Lutherans and caused the division and the separation? Was it Lutherans that separated themselves from Catholics? No, sir. It was the Catholics who cast out the Lutherans. You follow this? Then when the Anabaptists appeared on the scene, who was it that tried to straighten up the Lutherans? It was the Anabaptists. And who cut off the Anabaptists? Who caused the division? Who brought the fire? Was it the Anabaptists who had the new truth? No, sir. It was the establishment, the Lutherans. Then when the Anabaptists came along, or after the Anabaptists came the Puritan movement, that would be your Presbyterian movement, your Knox-type people, and who got mad at them? The Anabaptists. I cut them off. But you see, this is the history. This is the way it is. Don't you remember when you first got saved? How thrilled you were. So you went back to the factory, the office, the school, and told everybody because that would make them happy. And what did you find out after you told them? They weren't a bit happy about your wonderful salvation experience. So then you went to this church, and you were in Sunday school, and you began, and you watched a program about healing, an Oral Roberts program, and you went to your Baptist Sunday school teacher and talked to him about healing. And he was so thrilled. Oh, no, they weren't. No, they're not. No, right now, they were not thrilled when you talked about healing in a Baptist church. So you went over to the, I'll say a holiness. Let me pick one for you. Nazarene. And that Nazarene preacher believed in healing. So you started there for a while, and you were having a good time and getting along pretty well until you talked to the choir director about tongues. And the word went right back to the pastor that you've been talking about tongues, and you found out the next time that you went to sing in the choir that your book was taken. Now, I'm kind of painting some pictures, but how many can follow what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? Because each group then sets its own structure and will not allow you to go on. Will not allow you to believe something more and beyond what the structure of that group teaches and believes in. Now, if you hear me carefully, I'm not finding fault with any group. I honestly believe that everybody here should be a Catholic. Not a Roman Catholic, but a Catholic. Now, whether you caught that or not. Then I think everybody here should be a Lutheran. Then you see, there's a big argument in the Catholic Church about whether the Pope is at Rome and Constantinople and all that kind of stuff, and I think you ought to be a Catholic. Then you ought to be a Lutheran, then you ought to be an Anabaptist, and you ought to be a Presbyterian. Come on, Presbyterians, give it to me now. Amen. All right. That was a good Presbyterian, amen. Amen. He couldn't even hardly get that out. Well, anyway, and then you follow what I'm getting at? Because I honestly believe that you'd be healthy if you'd learn the experience of all seven of the revival denominations, the major seven revival denominations, and realize that this is God moving people on. Now, this is not the end of it, because in the realm of the Spirit, Jesus already, now watch me, at Passover, entered my spirit and I'm saved. I became a babe and I began to grow. Then I crossed the second line, or crossed this line, which brought me my bar mitzvah. I entered into the feast of what? Pentecost. Then the Holy Spirit began to deal with my what? And while the Holy Spirit was dealing with my soul, I began to start to experience the leading of the Spirit, which is called the grace, the freedom, while I was still bound by the law, and I was frustrated. Terribly frustrated. Led by the Spirit to do things that I knew the law was against. I don't know whether you've been that way or not, whether you've had those kind of leadings where you were led to do things that you just better keep quiet about, that the law was against. So I was in this realm, in the soul realm. And to tell the truth, I'm still here, being led of the Holy Spirit, going through attitude changes, because eventually I want to go all the way to the tabernacle experience. Now, at the tabernacle experience, I'm expecting the glory of the Father to inhabit these physical bodies. When I will no longer be a technon, but I will become manifest as a Kyrios, a Son of God, a joint heir with Christ. That's when I can rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. Wouldn't it be awful if all the thrones were given to the teenagers? Well, some of the teenagers think that'd be great. But those who have any maturity realize that they've got to go through that experience and come out furthermore mature on the other side and become Kyrios. Going through the transition, adding to yourself responsibility, accepting responsibility, not shirking it, as you become more mature, how am I doing? Ready for the maturity, ready for the manifestation of the Kyrios. Then you leave the responsibility of the Father, and now you're under your own responsibility, plus you take on the responsibility for others. Now you're manifested. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. And you know what that means? Well, in the natural realm, it's like this. Solomon Goldsmith has a son named Abe. And he's got a jewelry store downtown. And old Saul has been working with Abe all these years. And he started him out in the apprenticeship at the jewelry store. And he put him in the receiving department so they could learn the procedures. And then after a while, he was taken over to the purchasing department. And then he went through the sales counter. And he went through accounts receivable and accounts payable. How many understand what I'm doing? And little by little, the boy became older and older. Until finally, one day, I forget what names I gave him, Solomon Goldsmith called a sign painter and said, I want you to change the sign on the outside. This will now be Goldsmith and Son. Goldsmith and Son. Well, the sign painter came out one day, got the ladders up and started painting, and then Saul brought in all the department heads. And he said, A.B., stand up. You know my son, A.B. He's worked with you all these years. He's proven himself. He's demonstrated his ability in all his departments. Now it's time. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. All you department heads, hear him. From now on, it's Goldsmith and Son. He now has the ring, which is my signature. What he says comes with the same power and authority as if I said it. Are you following this? The Father, Son, Holy Father? Are you getting it? What he does will be with my approval, for I have approved of him, and I know he will react properly. And old Solomon says, this is Abe. He's in charge of the store now. I'm going to Miami. Call me up in Miami for any questions. I'm headed out. He's in charge. He has the throne. Are you following this? That's where the Father wants to place you. He wants you there. But I tell you, if Jesus came tonight and brought the thrones, brought the crowns, we'd be dangerous. Because we still need to develop. We still need to go through a transition, accepting more responsibility, becoming more mature, so that God can, one of these days, put up a sign, God and Sons. And Jesus said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am sitting in my Father's throne. Now, if you believe that, you're a heretic. But I'm a heretic, and most of you look like heretics too. Because we believe the Word of God, in spite of all of our training, in spite of all of our quarterlies, and the Word of God teaches that there's going to be a group of people who are going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Why not you? There's no reason. Absolutely no reason not. God told me to tell you, I'm leaving the Bible study for just a minute, I'm going to get in the spiritual realm, I'll prophesy, I'm going to tell you this. God told me to tell you that you have the potential and the possibility of being on the throne with Him. Now it's up to you. You have this potential, you have that possibility. If you muff it, by the grace of God, it won't be my fault. I'm going to do everything I can to help you so that you don't muff it. And by the grace of God, help me. Pray for me that I don't muff it. Because, you know, the closer we get, the more challenged we are to the guy who's got the throne, the prince of this world right now. You understand what I'm talking about? And the madder he gets at us, the more we mature, the closer we are, the more screws he's going to turn to make us squeal. But by the grace of God and all that lies within me, we're going all the way. We're not going to let that old devil stop us. I already read the last chapter and we're in. And I want to go ahead all the way. Wait, just a couple more scriptures. What time is it? Oh, well, we're not doing too bad. Turn with me to Galatians 5:22. Oh, I didn't even finish 4. What happened to me? I got preaching instead of teaching. 4:3. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. You see the word elements? What did we teach you that word elements was? Stoichions, the law of Moses. When we were children, we were in bondage under the Stoichions. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his huios, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I'm going to say that again. The purpose of the huios of God is to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now what? That's the adoption of huios. Now, God's purpose is to cause you to be adopted into the family of God as a huios and to make you a manifest son of God. That's what Christianity is all about. Now hear me. When you're redeemed, you're to be... Is that what it said? Verse 5 there. His purpose is to redeem. What do you do when you redeem something? How do you get it back? If you go to a pawn shop and redeem something, what do you do? All right. After you redeem something, was it once yours? All right, would you believe that? Would you believe that you were once his? Right. Would you agree to that? Yes. All right, now. Who is it going to redeem it from? The bartender? Sin? Is that what it said in verse 5? Redeemed from sin? Redeemed from bad people? Redeemed from the devil? No. You're redeemed. Now, this is not salvation. This is adoption of sons. Now, understand the difference. When you were saved, you were taken out of the devil's clutches. But when you come into the adoption of sons, you're taken out of the clutches of the law. If I've said it once, I've said it 20 times. It's the law that prevents us from entering into the manifestation of the sons of God. The gospel of the circumcision that stops us from going on. The mixture of law and grace that keeps us from entering fully into the manifestation of the sons of God. So now Jesus is sent to those children of God, the technons of God, to redeem the technons, to redeem the adolescents, so that they might go on all the way fully into a manifestation of a complete son of God. And redeem us now from the law. Can you see it? Technons. Gonna be hard on you, the next sentence. But your big enemy to the technon is not the devil. The technon's enemy is not the devil. You've already been saved from the devil. Come on, you know where your enemy is. Self-condemnation, law, worry, fear. What will people say? What will people think? If I order a BLT, and I use that as my example, my favorite example, of being led by the Spirit and not by the law. The law says it's not kosher, you cannot order a bacon sandwich. But the Spirit says, go ahead and do it, because if you don't eat with those Italians, they'll never get saved. Now that's what he said in the Bible. Remember, Cornelius, captain of the Italian band. And so what did Peter do? He went up to the Cornelius house and he ate pizza with sausage. And what was the trouble? The sausage had pork in it. It was against the law. but he was eating it in the Italian's house. So, when he left the law, was led of the Spirit, what was the result? Well, the first thing that happened was he began to preach to those Italians, and they got saved, and they received the baptism just like they did the other time, and they spoke in other tongues, and when Peter went home, they really rammed it to him. Why? Peter, you're eating with those dagos. And you know you're not allowed to do that. Come on. And so what did he say? Look, they might be Italians, he said, but listen to this. They spoke with other tongues like we did at the first, and they all praised the Lord and knew that God had accepted the Italians just like the Jews. And being led out of the law and by the Spirit actually took the gospel to you guys. Because if it hadn't have been for that BLT, you couldn't have got in. You'd have never heard it. Am I making sense to you? Do you see what I'm talking about? If he hadn't have gone beyond the law into the leading of the Spirit, we would have never received the message of salvation. Praise God for the leading of the Spirit. Praise God that we're not under the law. Or if you can only go back with me and read those 400 or 500 laws and realize how stupid it is to want to go back to the law, to want to go back to all those traditions and commandments and laws, rules and rituals of men. Now, we've gone to that. Go with me to Galatians 5 now for just a minute. 5:22. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. The Spirit wouldn't let you hurt anybody. Somebody says it's dangerous to teach. I'll admit that it's dangerous for me to teach infants or the tricycle set. What I've taught tonight is dangerous for tricycle set. But it's not dangerous for the four on the floor set. You follow what I'm getting at? They need to know that there's more. Now hold it, boys. Hold it down. You with your four on the floor. This is where you get into most trouble. Isn't that right? This is where you get into most trouble. So hold it, because you're so close to your manifestation that the devil's going to get you right here. If it's at all possible, he's going to trick you up and wrap you around a tree or something with your four on the floor or whatever the thing is that you're coming into your power with. Because this is where the lack of sensitivity to the leading is. Do you remember when you were a teenager? Your lack of sensitivity? How many wish that they could take back several things they said when they were teenagers? Because of their own lack of sensitivity. There are a few who couldn't even remember what they said, so I'm not going to press the issue. All right. Now, go with me to one other scripture, please. And copy these scriptures now. You don't have these on your chart, I don't think, but I want you to get them. Galatians 5:22 and 4:5. Colossians 2:14. Romans 6:6 and Romans 7:9. And 1 Corinthians 15:54-58. Come over with me now to Colossians 2:14. I'll wait because I can see you're copying, so I'll give you some time. Colossians 2:14. Don't turn to it. I'll do it while you're copying. I'll do it right. I'll read it right. If I goof up, anybody will be able to check me out on the tape. And in Colossians 2:14, while you're copying, I'll wait for you for a while. No, I'll read it, and then I'll read it two or three times, so make sure you get it while you're copying. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Jesus Christ took the ordinances, the laws, the statutes, commandments, and judgments, which were contrary to us, which none of us could keep. Did you hear me? There's not a person here who can keep the rules and laws. Now, I don't know if you think you can or not. I'll wait because I can see you're still copying, so I'm preaching some very important things now, so I'm going to quit to get your copying done. I'll do it again for you while you're copying. Get your Galatians 5:22, Galatians 4:5, Colossians 2:14, Romans 6:6 and 7:9, and 1 Corinthians 15:54-58. Now, you got it? Okay, are there any more pins wiggling? Okay, now pay attention. In Colossians 2:14, this is what he said. Now, this is Jesus Christ who did it. He blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. You see it? What's the ordinance? The law. Who wrote it? Moses. Now, what's the purpose of the law? It's a what?
Schoolmaster
to bring us to Christ. After you're under Christ, why are you under the schoolmaster? Isn't that what he said? Galatians 3:24. After you come to Christ, you no longer need the schoolmaster. You're graduated. Now you're finished. But how many realize that after you come to Christ, most religionists put you back under Moses?
Yes.
Come on now, and if not this is that, the other thing, until you don't hardly know, really, what's right and wrong. Because you don't know which one of Moses' law to keep. Now, he says, Jesus Christ blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, and nailed it to his cross. Okay. Technons, Jesus Christ has just won the game. It's a giant football game, and we've won. Our team won. And what do? The first thing we do is rush down to the field, run over to the goalpost. That's the cross. And we put somebody up on our shoulders to get the goalpost as a souvenir. And we reach up to the top of the goalpost and take down the ordinance, the laws. And we take them right back to our church. You can always tell when I'm at the most important part. Now, since I'm at the most important part, did you get the picture? Can you get the picture? And what is the answer? We are guilty of going right up to the cross of Jesus Christ, and where he took all those laws and nailed them to the cross and made an open show of how that he had overcome them, and they were not to be against us anymore, and we brought them right back down, and we made them our rule book. Technons, kids, adolescents, gospel of the, say it, circumcision, brought right back into our lives that which Jesus died to get rid of. And we call it religion. You look very sad. It is sad, isn't it? Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, friend.
Leave it alone.
Next time you feel depressed, don't go to the Old Testament to find your answer. I mean that with all that lies within me. Go to Jesus Christ for your answer. Go to Jesus Christ. Now, you've got to learn the Old Testament. Please don't misunderstand me. You're going to be a Bible student, you've got to know the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament is a type and shadow, it's all your answers and especially your details back here in the Old Testament. But if you're going to use it for laws of life, forget it. You'll just end up being a technon all your life, and you'll die a technon. Did you hear me? You'll die a technon. You might be 65, you might be 75, you might be 85 years old in your body, but you'll still be a technon in the development of your soul. You'll still be a teenager. God's teenager. Oh, by the way, God still loves his teenagers.
You still got a place in heaven.
Everything will be all right for you. God's not mad at you a bit. But don't you think that a heavenly father, just like a natural father, would be very pleased to see his children mature and progress? Oh, by the way, this is not the end either. For even after the manifestation of the sons of God, there's one other area that's spoken of in the Bible that's beyond sons of God. It's when we enter the fatherhood. There's still yet a creativeness, a creative capacity of sons of God, who they themselves eventually become fathers. So there's, even after this step, another one beyond, where you create and become a God yourself. I don't know whether you're hearing me or not. And Don't get your eye on that step until you become get out of high school. We still got places to go and things to do. Okay, a couple more scriptures now. I think I'll be finished. Turn with me to Romans, please. This Romans thing is so full of it, I don't even know where to start. Well, 6:6 says, knowing this, the old man's crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth will not serve sin. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive through Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, verse 13. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience to righteousness? God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the what? How long that the law had dominion over man, as long as he lives. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Can you say it? Can you believe it? Can you really believe it? Well, I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. I believe this should be the prayer of each one of us, because I don't mean to be offensive to anybody here, but nobody here is out from it all the way yet. We're coming out. We're seeking not to come out of the law, but to be led of the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. If your desire is to leave the law, you're wrong. If your desire to be led of the Spirit, you're right. Now, in a parallel way, let me say it this way. If your desire is to get out of the 10th grade, you're wrong. If your desire is to get in the 11th grade, you're right. I will say that, see if you can understand. See, if your desire is to get out of a grade, then your tendency is to just slip through. Cheat on the tests. You know, if your object is to get out, then you can cheat on the test. Is that correct? Yeah. You can just cheat on the test. But if your object is to enter the 11th grade, then what are you going to have to do in the 10th? Really study the text and pass the tests correctly, not cheating. And I'm making sense on this. So our object then is not to leave the law. Our object is to be led by the Spirit. And in being led by the Spirit, it will, of course, take us out of the law. This is a very important concept to get on. Now in 8:14. As many as are led of the Spirit of God, they're the what?
Sons.
All right, sons. But do you think this is technos or huios? Now, if you're actually led by the Spirit of God, you suppose that's a technon or huios now? You got it. You're absolutely right. Praise God. As long as you answer them that way, I'm not worried. I'm getting the lesson across. Look at verse 16. Now, this is going to be a trigger, and I want you to tell me whether this is a huios or technon in 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the... Say it, technons or huios? You got it. You're seeing it just as clear. You got it. We are the technons. And if technons, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the... Now you tell me what it is. You got it. Oh, praise the Lord. I can tell I'm teaching this lesson well tonight. Because you're saying it right, and if you can say it right, you've got the context and you understand that it's talking about something we're coming into.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.